Once in a while, something comes along so masterful, it leaves you.
Don't stop. jam. Cold Blood. Cold Blood, that's cold-blooded. Oh my goodness. Hey, welcome everybody. This is the Soul Savvy Show coming to you every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 o'clock on the East and 6 Central. And welcome our panel. We've got Q Lynn Green. We've got Whitney and EB. And I'm just Will hanging out here on the West Coast. Hey guys, what's going on?
What's going on?
We're jamming. Sure.
Yeah, that's the joint right there.
Man.
We got to play all, it's going to be all the blackest of the blackest.
Let's get it.
It's going to be Wesley Snipes black on the show music. That's how black it is, because black history. We still got a couple more weeks left in Black History Month, so we playing the blackest of the black.
I think we need to extend this.
I was lispy when I said that. Blackest.
That's it.
I know. But, yeah, Black History Month, so we play in the blackest of the black girls. That song is Cold Blood, Kissing My Love.
Jam.
I don't know nothing about Cold Blood. I don't know what to tell you. If your parents, they from the black. I listen. Funk music for me, it's on a whole nother level, so you got, you got Tower of Power, you know what I mean? You got Lil you know what I mean? I get down with it, so.
Man.
Cold Blood, they from the Bay, so they had, you know what I mean? I think they were part of Atlantic. They was like maybe started, I think, early 70s or whatever, but yeah, that one right there, it's Cold Blooded. But yeah, we got a special guest on too. He was on with us last week. And he's back with us because we kind of left y'all off a cliffhanger a little bit. It was like a to-be-continued show last week. But we got Junior from Junior World of Soul back. So y'all give it up right now for Junior. What's up, man?
What's going on, y'all?
What's going on? You got your applause and everything. I keep getting to give them the Arsenio Hall claps. We gotta get that crowd audience. I gotta find a sound bite for that. Yeah, I had to leave out I thought we were gonna have another special guest, like I said, it's Soul Savvy's Radio Daycare Center last week, but this, I thought it was gonna be the same. I'm like, I can't be talking. I need to project more, cause I don't have all my equipment that I like to have with me when I do the show, and so I have to improvise. And I gotta project a little bit louder so y'all can hear me. And he definitely gonna wake up if I talk over. Yeah. And I gotta be myself. I gotta have some energy. And I won't be sounding like I was a few days ago when I took the edible and I was high. But yeah, I won't be like that. I don't want like have dead energy or whatever how I was sounding the other night because I was high as hell. But this time, you know, I just like, let me just, you know, make some arrangements and see what the sound like. Now I'm feeling a little better. I'm by myself. The acoustics in here is nice. And so, yeah, we should have a good show. But what's up with you, Junior? What you up to? What's going on in your world, in Junior's world?
None. Just getting off work, having me a nice drink here. But
you always drinking, man. Your whole liver gonna be, it's gonna just fall out one day because you drink so damn much. When you do your video, they shit just gonna be like, man, I'm tired of being in this nigga's body. It's gonna be all out.
It's hard out here, man. Dealing with work and all that, man, I gotta have me something. I got to.
Nah. You was like me the other day, man. I didn't even want to. That's what happened. You get peer pressured again, and it's like, man, I was doing good for like 6 months. I didn't need that. As soon as I get around my brother, he got all the vices and stuff like that, and then we go to a medicinal shop because it's legal here in Portland, and yeah. You know what I mean? They gave me a big ass thing. It was a gummy,
yeah.
A big ass gummy. I just took a little piece of it, and that thing, I was like, my whole back, it was like for back pain or whatever, and then my whole back was, I was like, okay, I'm about to go down.
They got the good stuff in Portland.
Everything started happening.
Yeah.
It was like, oh man. And it took 2 hours. I was like on the phone trying to like handle business stuff, and it's like, okay, I'll wait for 5 minutes. And I was like, okay, this needs to, and it's like, oh shit, this happening right now. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna hang up right now because I can't focus on the phone. Let me hang up and try this again. was like, okay, I ain't never doing this again. Like, it's going to be another clean slate. That's how edibles are. They kick in at the, because you think it ain't going to be, like, oh, this ain't going to be bad, whatever. 2 hours later, it's like, you about to pack the fuck out because it's so hot. I was like, oh, my God, I was like, and then when I went to sleep and woke up the next morning, it still didn't work. I was like, oh, shit, I'm so hot.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, this is,
yeah.
I was like, that's when you start praying. You're like, oh, my God, I ain't going to never do this no more. I'm like, okay, I'm done after this. It was like, kind of hot and scared the shit out of you. It was like, oh, no, we ain't doing this no more. This is too much. But, yeah, I lost my train of thought now. I guess we get into Savvy Update. Yeah, we interviewed Keisha Jackson, soulful singer Keisha Jackson, last week on the show. And it was a fun time. She had a lot of energy. It was just fun listening to her talk about all the stuff. Growing up, you know, being a daughter of a legendary, you know, soulful singer, and then carrying on that trait. Still singing and doing her thing and still, you know what I mean, maintaining a tremendous career, you know, through all the stuff. And then, you know, added on the life coach experience as well. I think that was dope, having that conversation. I thought it was cool as hell just talking to her. And I was just chilling. I was just going to feed him these Cheez-Its and this Capri Sun. I was just going to be chilling in the background, just be listening to y'all, whatever. But I was like, okay, I'm going to jump in for a little bit or whatever. But it was a great conversation, which I think about it. That show last week.
It was awesome.
It was great. Like, I'd love for her to come back and do a part two over it, literally anything. Like, her energy was good. She's real, mm-hmm. like, open, authentic, like everything that you would want in someone coming to the show. Like, she definitely embodied that. Plus, all the stories she told, like, I got all the emotions. So, yeah, she mm-hmm. was dope.
Right. And I was going to ask Junior a couple more questions. I think we only had a little bit of time with you last week, but what is it about, I guess I should say the popular music of Motown that makes you like it?
Well, for me, my mom loved Motown. She loved Motown out of every label. That's what she played a lot. So for me, you know, once I would start asking her questions, then she would bring out the books and be like, I want you to read this. I want you to read this. So then after a while, I just really started falling in love with it. You know what I'm saying? I just started falling in love with that sound. And then, you know, with Holla Dolla Holland being my favorite producers of all time, it's just, they created that Motown sound that we love. And that's why I love Motown. So when you get around me and mom, Motown will definitely be played. But then don't get me wrong, we're going to get into that 70s stuff with the Denise Slaus and the Jackie Moores and all those and Betty Swan and all those. But we Motown heads, so that's why I really fell in love with it. Because my grandparents, who put us on, they don't even like Motown like that. They thought it was too white, honestly. And
I feel them. Listen, me and your grandparents is on the same wavelength.
Yeah, like my grandfather would be like, he can deal with it, but he like after a while, me and my mom would be playing it maybe for an hour. He like, all right, can we play some Joe Simon? Can we play some Bobby Womack, please? Like this.
That's my kind of funny. He must have been wanting to drink. He was like, put the Bobby Womack out.
He started getting to more of the gin. He's a beef eater, God bless his soul, but that was his thing, so.
I was going to ask about y'all week, but I just want to ask this before we get into that, but I just randomly thought of this or whatever earlier today. I was thinking about black music. I was like, what? I'm talking about how I asked this. What is it about certain music that you gravitate to? I guess like the what you consider like if somebody said what's some like black music, like what's your like definition? Like not necessarily like But what is it like in terms of the musically, like what you listening for? You know what I mean? To make it black music. Like what is it that constituted being black music in your ears when you're hearing it?
You asking me?
Whoever wanna answer that. I was just asking anybody.
For me it's all feeling, it's all soul. Thinking about like black music as a whole and where it started, quote unquote, in the United States with the spirituals and with slaves and just that feeling. Black music has always been like this feeling of being free. It makes you feel it, like you feel sad, you feel happy, whatever, but it's going to make you feel. So when I think about black music, the first thing I think about is how does it make me feel? Like I can listen to something today that just came out, and it can make me feel the same way I can listen to a record that came out in, like, the 1940s will make me feel. So that's just me and black music. It's all feeling for me.
I would agree with most of that, because for me growing up, my parents, I think I've mentioned before, like, I didn't get to listen to a lot of stuff. So the older I get, like, some of the music... that we even play like on the show. Sometimes that music is new to me just because I didn't have the access to it. But no matter when I hear it, no matter where I'm at, I always feel like it's something relatable. Like, not just like the black struggle, but also the hope, the inspiration, like the resilience, all of that is all embodied like in our works of art. And that to me is like, I don't know. That's what kind of keeps me grounded, like, with our music. Like, that's the thing I always go back to. That's what I listen for. That's what I like to feel, like, that emotion that it brings out of you and just kind of lets you know either it's going to be okay or, you know what, maybe today really was a bad day, but there's hope on the other side of that. So that, for me, is what the biggest part of black music is about.
Yeah, I like how you said resilience. That's, like, it's like resilience in the face of whatever. Like, we are resilient. It, like, we get through it, and that's what the music does. I mean, like, everybody from, like, an Aretha Franklin to down to, like, I don't know, whoever the youngest new whatever is today, like, it's them getting through it. Like, they get through it, and the music is what does it. Like you said, no matter if it's good or bad, it doesn't always have to be about struggle, but it's that, that resilience, that feeling of it. Like, we're going to get through it, like, not alone, like... Always together.
Right.
Yeah, I was just curious on, like, what considers, like, black music, the essence of it. What is it that makes it black music? It's like, you think about it, it's like, what the singer is like, what is it that made Aretha Franklin, like, what made that black music more than Dionne Warwick? Like, that kind of thing. Like, was it... the rhythm section, you know what I mean? And you ask those questions, and it's like, it's mostly the kind of singing is like, some of it is, okay, we need to make a record, a pop record, and so most of it was, a lot of the singers, like, hold that back a little bit. Even though they feel soulful, the melody was more of what made it popular or whatever. And so, but it was still some singers, like, if they came from a church background, they came from a quartet background, they, there was a lot of artists that came out during those time periods as the Aretha's, as those artists, but when you hear them records, it's like, fuck, this is something else, and it's soulful, but it's not necessarily popular, if that makes sense, because there's a lot of artists that went under the radar because, like, Al Green, like, we playing some of his stuff later in the show, like, his shit was soulful, but it was pulled back. And if you listen to the artist, because what he did, that was called like a Memphis soul sound. And they had a record label that Willie Mitchell kind of had all those session bands, the people that was the house band create that sound. And they just, Al Green basically just followed their lead. You know what I'm saying? And so what he did... he had a formula to it because they had a house band that make that sound, but they had like five or six more artists that was doing it, like Otis Clay, Phil Johnson, You know what I mean? It's cats that were not as popular as Al Green, but they did the same thing, but it was way more. Because when you listen to the records, it's like one record from, I can't remember the cat's name. It was like Don Bryan. It was like different cats. There was one song called Ace of Spades, and it's like, you think it's a quartet gospel song, but it's an R&B song because of how they're talking about it, if that makes sense or whatever. But I was just saying, it's like some artists, it's like, what made that more, was it like the messaging? It's like, for me, it's like the messaging in the song. It was like speaking to the time period, and it was like certain things that was happening pre-civil rights era, post-civil rights era that changed the formula of some of the music.
But
yeah.
For a lot of it, I mean, like, if you're talking, like, civil rights era, like, that was a very specific era where songs were actually being made and used in the movement. Now, you can talk, like, later, like, the 1980s. I think it all has to do, like, I don't think any of it is any different than the other, but I think it has to do with who the music is being marketed to, which is why people will say, like, Motown wasn't like real, quote unquote, real black music or whatever. It was, but Berry Gordy had his own vision, so he marketed that a certain way. Just like, for instance, in the 80s, Tina Turner was out at the same time as Anita Baker, Janet Jackson, but nobody's like, oh, Tina was making black music. They're like, no, she did that with Ike, but when she had her solo career, now she's marketing to a different audience. She's rock and roll. She's marketing to a new core audience. So people don't traditionally think of Tina as quote-unquote black music, even though it's no different than, like, an Anita Baker or Janet Jackson in the 80s. Like, they made black music. Whitney Houston, like, her first two albums, really, people were kind of like, or really the first one, people were kind of like, you know, that's not, she's not making it for us because that's not who it was marketed to. And, I mean, you can go on and on with those examples. And, like, people, like, who came along, and most of it is, it all has to do with who controls the marketing and who you're trying to get to, which is why they say the things they say about, you know, Off the Wall versus Thriller. It's not necessarily that one is blacker than the other because they're both black. It's all Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones. They're black as, you know, black can get. I mean, I'm not even going to make no Michael Jackson black joke, but it's like, you know, they're both good. They're both soulful, but you got Off the Wall when Michael is coming fresh off the heels of, like, Jackson and Jackson 5 still. Like, he's had solo albums, but people still put him in that group. Yeah, he's right. Black. He's the they thinking about the Afro. And then Thriller come around, you know, he got a little process in his hair a little bit. And people's like, oh, that's a white album. No, it's not necessarily a white album, but he grew so much in that 2-3 year time span that he's not, you know, little Michael Jackson anymore. He's not, you know, big Afro Michael Jackson anymore. Now, he's now, like, global superstar Michael Jackson. And, I mean, that's just for me, that's what it is. It's marketing and who the core audience of a certain sound is. I think that's what determines, like, whether people consider it to be black music. Same with, like, Dionne Warwick. I mean, she had Burt Bacharach and Hal David writing for her. So, of course, like, people's like, oh, it's not as soulful as somebody like Aretha Franklin, but I mean, it's all the same. It's all black music, and they both had like the same origins. Dionne came from the church. Aretha came from the church. Dionne was like in gospel group from the church, so it was still black. But because it wasn't marketed, like because she wasn't in the video with the biggest afro holding up a soul brother, soul sister number one fist, people's like, oh, it wasn't black music. It's just as black as anything that came out of, like, in my opinion, like, Stax, or that came out of Philadelphia International, or even Motown. Like, people say, that's not black. I'm like, yeah, but it is. Like, if you really get into it, like, they got some, it's black. They just were marketing. Berry Gordy had a different vision. He wanted to market towards, you know, he wanted it to sell. So, you know, when we want things to sell, we sell it to our non-melanated brothers and sisters. Just, you know, that's how we sell it to them.
It's just interesting using that word with black music, and it's like it's all in perspective because what you think, what some people think is black music, white people enjoy the most. It's ridiculous. Like if you see some of these concerts that you would think would be predominantly black is, like, majority white, like Phil Johnson. Like, majority of his audience is white. If you go to Anita Baker, like, people, you know what I mean, you can classify that it is black music, it is, it's that, but if you look at the 80s, in those hits, like, that was pop music. Her music was on the charts because, like I said, everything that's related to jazz, white people gravitated towards. So anything related to a black artist that had a predominantly white crowd that gravitated, like with Jimi Hendrix, anything related to Hendrix, they're going to gravitate to.
One.
So Isley Brothers, you know, he started with them. And so those records, they're like, it's like a whole, like, it's a whole, I don't even want to specify the age group, but it's a good predominantly white crowd. If you go to Isley Brothers, because I've gone to, like, a plethora of Isley Brothers shows. It's majority white crowd every damn time.
Yeah, Earth, Wind & Fire, same thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, because I realized that certain artists, they focus more on what it was. Like, certain times, it's like certain musicians, they gravitate towards the sounds or whatever. It was the actual sound. And when I think of black music, I'm like, it's all in the instrumentation. Cause, and what the feeling comes from is that same vein of, okay, we're doing all this in one take. And so all of that has that feel. Most of those records, they're cutting it one time with the analog equipment. And so they're not stopping it, okay, let's layer these vocals on here. No, the background, if they have background singers in there, if it's a singer in there, they're all singing at the same time. The musicians, everybody's playing at the same time, so it's no room to edit and cut and, like, create a guitar loop, a four-bar guitar loop, and it's like, okay, we're going to produce it. No, it was, okay, the arrangement is, we're going to play this like this music sheet is, and we're going to leave room for the ad-libs. That's how they created those records. And so it's like, the feeling comes from, okay, we're into it, we're into a song because we're doing this like straight through. Like, we're not stopping. And so you get a lot of ad-libs, you get the, cause when you hear some of those, those instrumentations, like, especially the ones that had a heavy rhythm section, they're not playing the same rhythm pattern. But, I mean, when you get to, like, the funk era, they're not even playing the same rhythm pattern from the top of the song. It's completely different because they're going off of the feeling. It's like gospel music because you know the song, but when you start playing it live, it's a different feeling because you're just going off feeling. You're not going off of what you rehearsed. And so that's where it comes. That's what I think. It's skill. Because when you hear Al Green records, when you hear Bobby Womack records, they're mostly just, like, feeling it. And so it's not necessarily, they got the lyrics in front of them, but they're adding different, you know what I mean? It's just a different, it's like seasoning, like seasoning your food. It's like a different,
it's different
texture
flavor.
And flavor to it. So,
And it's just like everything from, like, to add to what you're saying, it, like, that gospel feeling, like that feeling of, like, improv or that it's just like you just let that feeling take over and you just go with it. And I think in terms of like the Motown thing, that was something that happened at Motown, but not in the same way. Like they had a very polished sound. Everything had to be like just like their image, everything was polished. And as like somebody like Al Green or Bobby Womack, like it was kind of like, let's just go with the feeling. James Brown, like, you know, Millie Jackson, you know, somebody, if you in the moment and you grooving, and it could be either way. Normally, you know, it followed the band. Like, you follow wherever the band was going, but it's like a mutual relationship where the band is feeding off your energy as a lead singer. You might be feeding off the energy of your background singers over there in the corner who doing their part. And that's why when the record comes out, it's like, oh, this is the most amazing shit I've ever heard. Because in that moment, no matter what was going on outside of that recording booth, like in anybody's lives individually, in that moment, they were all in the same place at the same time and they felt the same thing. thing. It's like this outer body experience of like, you just transcend everything. It's just like, this is soul. This is love. Like, this is, it could be hate. It could be whatever feeling that that record invokes is what you get when you listen to it because of where those people were when they recorded it. And that is my favorite thing about black music. It's the feeling, man. It's the feeling.
That's
right. And I think that is the kind of what I like when I tell people what's the difference between Motown and Stat. I think that Stat with Jimmy Stewart, he kind of told, you know, the in-house band, Booker T and the MGs, like, y'all just play. Like, if you listen to Otis Blue, you feel like you're at a concert because it's just the feeling. They just playing. Like, that, and then when you hear Motown, and you hear, like he said, it's very polished. And I felt like with Stack, they just made music. They was like, let's just jam, and whatever we make out of this, this is what we're going to get. And it's like, yeah. If Barry would have got a record like that, he'd have been like, no, this is not going to work. That's why for so long, he didn't want Marvin's What's Going On to come out. Because he was like, this is not going to sell. This is not going to, mm-hmm. People don't want songs about feelings. They want a song to make them dance and just, you know what I'm saying, and just really just talk about love. And it's like, is that all what music is supposed to be about? And I think that's why, you know, my grandparents actually liked Stax better because it was more of a feeling. So if you came over their house, you wasn't going to hear a lot of Motown with them because they wanted more of the feeling. You wanted that Stax there. And I think that's kind of what the difference is. And going back to what Eric was saying about the whole thing about, you know, the Thriller and Off the Wall, I agree because it's who you market it to. Because my mother said this. She said, as much as I love my people, I know we wasn't making these artists sell 10 million records. It wasn't us. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's no way, mm-hmm. especially with bootlegging going on and all this kind of stuff, because she was like, let me tell you something. She was like, my grandfather used to bring home 8-track that didn't have anything on it. And yeah. You would think that it would be, she'd be like, Dad, who is this? And he'd be like, oh, this is some mix that they put on here, and I brought it for like $2, and it would be Tyrone on there, and you would have Al Green on there, and you have this. So it's like, that's why a lot of these audiences, when we go to these concerts, a lot of them are predominantly white, because it's like, they really going out buying the music. You know, for us, we bootlegging this thing. Because a lot of us ain't affording this, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's real. Like now, yeah. It's a lot of people that I'm like, alright, I still go out and buy physical copies. I'm still going to Best Buy. I'm still going to there to buy physical copies of my artists. But then you got really? People like, well, screw that. I'm going to go online and download.
I was like, I was in shock. My bad.
Looking at the liner notes and looking at who wrote this and who produced this. Like, that's me. And I mean, you can do that online, but I like to have it in my hand. So that's just me. So like, I sit there and I'm like, well, dang, my mom's right. You know what I'm saying? Anita was selling 6 million on Rapture, but you think 6 million black people brought Rapture during that time where there was heavy bootlegging coming on. Like, that's why her audience is who he is. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean,
that's what I
the
was.
Thing is, like, that the common thing there is, it's always like that first album, like, it's considered a lot of times blacker because that's like we are the only people who up on it. Once they get up on it, their second album, it always, always outsells that first. That's because now white people know about it now. It's like, oh, and this is the thing. White people actually, they know and appreciate good music. Like, and they all into a good jam session. They all into like the improv. They into the God. They're into it, which is why like when you go to these concerts, like it's predominant. I went to a concert like the other night, Tuesday night, and it was probably the blackest show I've been to all year. But there were like 7 or 8 of us in the room, and the rest were white people, and they were like they loved it. And it's like, it's just like one of those things, like, you know, they love good music, and they're going to support it. I don't think we always support it in the same way. And it's not that we don't want to support, but sometimes we just can't support. Sometimes we choosing to do other things because our money is just used differently. We might always have the extra income for it.
And you know what's so crazy? You said I went to a Mint Condition concert maybe about 2 years ago, and I took my mom. And mm-hmm. I was expecting, and this is at B.B. King's, y'all, in the city.
Yep.
And I'm
in
like,
the city.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm going. And I was like, Ma, this is probably going to be the blackest concert we go.
Nope.
We're talking about B.B. King. We stepped up in there, and it was, oh my, it was literally like 70% white. I could not believe it. I was shocked. I was like,
they know good music. They love it.
I was like, whoa. And it's like, they know the songs. Like, when Pretty Brown Eyes came on, I have a video, and I went around, and you got these white women standing up, singing the words louder than blood.
Listen.
And I'm like, whoa.
Heather was on her feet, and she changed the words.
Yes.
She said, pretty blue eyes.
Yes.
You
yes.
know.
Exactly.
Oh,
Becky
my God. Yeah.
With their little, you know, yes, with their little red
yeah.
lines.
Listen.
And it's good.
They good. They good. They're going to go home later that night, and Bill is going to tear it up because
right.
Stokely told him to.
I
damn it.
I was shocked. And me and my mom talked about that all the way home. We was like, yo, we thinking we going to be up in there. You know what I'm saying? It's like us, and it was like 30% of us. And I'm like, whoa, this Mint Condition. And I'm like, and they're a little underrated when it comes to the 90s, but I'm not even expecting, you know what I'm saying, a lot of them. And it was like, whoa, I was just shocked. And it just blew my mind. And that's when my mother was like, I tried to tell you, we support a lot of ours. We want to, like you said, E, but at the end of the day, we got bills. So we going to pay our bills. And if we can get something for free, why not? Or cheaper, why not? So.
Right. Yep. We're going to go to break real quick. And we're going to be back. I think we're 6 minutes of rage. So, Will, if you ready, we're going to go to break. We'll be back. And I'll play this song. Stop the car. Now get into it.
You know I've been there, baby.
We back, y'all. Soul Sevens Radio. Yeah. My jam,
yes,
my friend.
This is jam.
Hey, when they come back here, that's right.
Hey! It's on.
You have a Tino Green, yo, Lucy?
Tino?
The David over there, bro.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey. That's when the bell. That's when the bell carries the song.
Man.
And then just a couple of bars. It was simple. That's when everybody could go on the song. Now she's gonna put something in the sound in the club while we're playing. Like,
yeah.
You hear the bass? The bass? Oh, man. The pocket. You hear that? The bass.
And we are back.
Oh, about 6 minutes of rage.
6 minutes of rage.
Get into it.
That's right. Let's get
rage
it.
Raging about hot Cheeto puffs and cars.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Little kickback. Grab a glass of Pinot. Maybe a little 420. It's going to be an experience. Oh.
6 minutes of rage.
That's right. Woke up this morning.
House.
Yeah. Oh no, no gun. Come on now. Let's turn it up. Alright. Hey, this is a 6 minutes of rage. You know, I'm not sure what we want to call this movie. Is it a gangster movie or is it a comedy? Because you got cats like, oh my God, the Junkyard Dog, Jim Jordan. You got Mess, Gates, Clark Kent, Roger the Rabbit, Roger Stone. Hey, did you hear this cat was just convicted today, 3+ years, but we'll get back to that. I think it should have been more. You got, oh, that pompous ass Pompeo, that punk, and Lefty Lindsey, Giuliani. Don't forget that Goose Nick. Oh, Mitch McConnell. Oh, the 45 mushroom. Hey, this guy is handing out pardons like lines of cocaine around here. Have you seen what's going on? And then in the presidential race, oh, you got Bernie. Bernie's holding on to the lead strong, right? Oh, my goodness. Bernie, hold on to whatever you got there, boy. Then you got Buttigieg. I don't know what's up with Buttigieg. But you know what? I would vote for anybody except for what we got right now. Then you got Elizabeth Warren. Okay, watch her. Oh, boy, did she see how she attacked Mike Bloomberg last night? Oh, then Klobuchar, she's hanging there too, probably in third place, and then Tom Steyer. And let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about this Democratic race. Oh, my God, I hope they get this together because we got to get the mushroom out. The stem is gone. The stem, we got to get the stem out of there. Oh, Bloomberg got some problems. You know, I don't give a hoot who's winning, right? Or who's buying, or as long as you get this guy out. However, he has some issues. And EB, you know about that. Because in New York, he had that stop and frisk law. Hey, throw them black boys up against the building. Frisk them down, okay? Oh, it doesn't matter. And then, also with his companies. Now, I know this guy's worth $60 billion, which is a ton of money. It'll probably take you about 15, 20, 30 tractor trailer. No, more than that. Loads of money there. But he has sexual harassment claims in this company. I don't know what you heard about that. But this stop and frisk game, you know, that really, really bothers me because we already know he only stopped black and brown people. So now all of a sudden, I guess he found religion somewhere. And now the brother said, you know what? I know I made some mistakes and I didn't realize how I would. Come on now. Come on. Oh, Tom Steyer. I like Tom Steyer, believe it or not. Since there are no black people left in there, I like Tom Steyer. He has, but the guy, he spent a ton of money, and the thing about it is he's not catching fire at all. So we'll get back to that in a little bit. fraud, corruption, bribery. Come on, let's call it what it is. Quid pro quo, forget that. Nobody in the hell knows what that is. Call it for what it is. And now since this guy says, oh, you didn't impeach me, oh, he's gone haywire right now. I told you I could do whatever the hell I wanted to do. And guess what? And he's proving it right now. So is there any stop to this clown? So we'll get back to that in a minute. Oh, the coronavirus. Whew. Started in China, but it's spreading, folks. The death toll is up. I can't give you an exact number right now, but it has also spread to the United States. We'll come back to that a little bit. Oh, is anybody talking about global warming? I understand that in Antarctica now, it's supposed to be one of the coldest places in the world. It got up to 71 degrees. That should tell you something right now. Weinstein, when is his ass going to prison? Okay, Bill Cosby's there. I'm thinking he's asking the same damn thing. Weinstein, look, dude, come on. You got to go. You got to go. And then I think he's in a wheelchair. I don't know if it's a fake or not, but he looks mighty damn old. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Something that we normally don't talk about, and that is sports on this particular show right here. But the Houston Astros, folks, I want to talk about, it's a caption here, and I'm gonna bring it all home to you. I'm gonna tie it all together. And that says that, the Houston Astros, and it says something about, for better or worse, it's America's team. I want you to think about that. They cheated. You know, and not only here this year to win the championship, but they cheated last year, rather. And it says America's team. You think it has anything to do with the climate that we're facing right now? And that's been my 6 minutes of rage. Back to you, Q Lynn, E.B. Whitney, and our special guest. All right, guys, we are back. Hey, there's so much to talk about here. You know, the thing about it, I want you guys to pick up on this. I think, and I've always said this, well, and I don't think I know, there are two sets of laws out here. They're set for us and they're set for them. How in the world can you do what these guys are doing? And guess what? The president said, oh, nope, not going to jail. Look how many guys, corrupt individuals this guy has pardoned just this week. He pardoned the governor that was trying to sell Obama's Senate seat. That had 7 more years to go on his prison term and calls him a good guy. Good Lord. So much for draining the swamp, huh? E.B., Q-Lan, Whitney.
It's a hot mess. I think it's just hot as well. I didn't know nothing about Antarctica getting the 71. I'm stuck on that right now. I didn't hear nothing about that, but all this stuff with Trump, like, I saw that about the governor getting pardoned as well, and I still am trying to figure out, like, what's legal and what's not legal anymore, because I didn't think you could just, you know, do a lot of these things that are happening. I also thought people were supposed to go to jail when they were supposed to go to jail. At least that's how it definitely works for all the rest of us, and I don't mean just like black people, but people who don't have the financial means that these people who are getting off are, you know, that they have. So I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but the politics now just make me feel kind of stupid, like that I never learned about it and that I don't really understand it, because I'm not understanding anything anymore. Like, I have no answers. I don't get it. Like, I don't know what I'm missing.
You're not missing anything. The whole idea, I don't know who's next, whether it's EB or our guest here. What's happening is the devil is the master of confusion. And everybody's confused. You don't know what's up, what's down, what's right, what's wrong.
Right.
Because the system has been breached.
Yep. I totally agree. Because it's like what you think you knew that was supposed to be
right
is now wrong.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, like it doesn't even exist. And it's like, and you watch this, and like I was just watching the Democratic yesterday, and it was like after a while I was like, I'm lost. I've never been this lost when it came to politics, ever. And this is the most lost I've been. And I'll just be like, I have a headache. I was like, I'm going to bed. I'm confused. Like, I'm just... I can't.
You know, that's the danger in it. Because so many people did, you know, rather than deal with this crap, I mean, because it will give you a headache to try to figure out what's what, right? And so most people, a lot of people say, you know, I ain't got time for this shit. I gotta go to work in the morning. And you know, and you toss it aside, you don't do it. But the main thing about it is we got to get out and vote. We've got to get out and exceed the numbers that we had when President Obama was running. I mean, this is what it's gonna take.
I totally agree.
People are there though. Like the feeling that I get, like me being confused, I'm still gonna go vote.
But oh yeah, oh, there's no question about it.
The feeling that I get, like kind of in general, is that I can't tell if people are feeling like they should go vote this time. You know, like you know, the first time when there was a big like, hey, we need to make sure that we don't get Trump elected into office, and it seemed like that shouldn't have happened, but then it was like, where's all this energy to the polls? And it kind of feels that same way to me, and I think it's because people are genuinely confused. And even like with the Democratic debate, normally I sit down and really watch those all the way through. Yesterday I didn't so much, but I went back today because I was like, I'll just watch it on my own time and kind of dissect it. And I'm listening to them, and I'm like, what are we debating about right now? Because the clapbacks were great. Like, they were great from Warren, like, coming out fiery and all that stuff. But I was like, I'm not really sure what we're debating right now. And maybe I just wasn't into it like I normally am. But I don't want people to lose, like, focus amidst all the confusion. Like, we have an election that's coming up. So be as informed as you can be and know, like, these are not the norms. And it's kind of, I feel like it's difficult for people sometimes to navigate through, like, mental chaos and confusion because this is not like, the typical. This isn't representative of what we had with other presidents. Even, like, Obama aside, I just don't feel like there was this much turmoil and confusion, like, within our own country about stuff in our own country. Like, I feel like sometimes I don't live in the States. Like what is going on? And it's like they don't, like the politicians acknowledge it to an extent, but even I feel like they're confused too. Like, it's just all confusing. So I'm ready for the election to already be over with. And hopefully we don't have a repeat of what we've had, because I think people just need to, we just need a change. Like, we need a fresh start and to try to get some type of normalcy back. Cause it's just throwing everybody off.
It is crazy. And it's not only the presidential race. I tell you what, we really have strength. We need to get that Senate. We need to get Gooseneck out of there. I'm serious about
that.
And Lindsey Graham. All right, and these cats, and look at these clowns, and you look at, and they are high almighty, I mean, the moral police, and then you look at that damn Jim Jordan, for instance, and he's up to his neck in a scandal at Ohio State University. Now, these guys be talking about the Democrats are this, right? They're corrupt and whatever it is. This guy's in a scandal of his own with a sexual abuse allegation of men. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of athletes out over Ohio State right now. The trial is going on right now. As a matter of fact, the brother of, and he was like the assistant wrestling coach at Ohio State University, right? And the wrestlers went to him. And he claimed, no, I don't know anything about it. Well, the brother, who was a captain, his brother was, molested by this doctor who committed suicide years ago, right? The brother threatened to kick Jim Jordan's ass on TV the other day. So, I mean, so we got all this kind of stuff going on. And then you got Matt Gaetz looking like Clark Kent out there. And he's talking about, Biden, Hunter Biden. They found a crack cocaine pipe. Now these guys will go low. I mean, lower than low, right? How they found a crack cocaine pipe in Hunter Biden's car, right? And this cat, they got billboards in Florida of him with DUIs. And, you know, I mean, so come on, man. So, I mean, and Lindsey Graham, good Lord. Lefty Lindsey. Then you got Rudy Giuliani, and he's hanging around with Lev and Igor. Now, women are holding, and they're over there investigating and doing government business. You've got to have government clearance to do that kind of crap. And these guys are getting away
with it.
Well, they're supposed to. That's to, if any of us go over and do business with in China, Iran, or anywhere, right? We have to sign an agreement. Okay, we have to register ourselves as a foreign agent to go do business in a country. There's documentation that has to happen. That's by the law. Okay, now you try to let us go over there and try to do that without paperwork. We may, our relatives may not see us again. So this
they won't.
Oh, it's crazy. This is absolute nuts. So, I don't know. Does anybody have an idea, or who do you think is the strongest candidate to beat this knucklehead?
I think Warren and I want to say Bernie, but Pete is good too. I don't know. I think I said this before, I don't know if I said it on the show, but I think the best thing is for Bernie and Warren to be on the same ticket. I think that would be, like, the only thing that would make sense out of this whole thing, because you gotta have somebody that has, a global following, and Bernie has, like, mm-hmm. fucking crazy, they just as crazy as Trump supporters. The motherfuckers are crazy. That's why whatever I post up on Twitter or whatever, I'll put like an asterisk in their name or whatever, because the motherfuckers will find your tweet and be arguing with you, try to argue with you. I'm like, I ain't got time to be arguing with you about this old ass white man.
Right.
But yeah, I think the only thing that makes sense is to put both of them on the ticket.
Stacey Abrams, her name, you guys know who she is. This black lady, I'm so proud of her, out of Alabama, that got cheated out of that race.
I mean, she's cool. I mean, you know, I think she had such a good run when she was trying to run for governor. I think that's cool, whatever, for Georgia, but it's like, you don't really, I mean, being new to politics is cool, but it's like, you gotta have a certain kind of, energy about you. I think she's trying to run for somebody's VP. I think I heard that. I don't know if it was for Biden or whoever. I heard that on some news outlet saying that might be a chance that she might be somebody's vice president. But she's cool, whatever, but it's like now, it's like you gotta have the ones that you basically gotta be, like the way Warren came out, like basically what she was saying was is that these people that's talking about plans, their ideas are not concrete. Like, she was throwing shit. It's people, like, making memes. I love that she's getting that energy, because they've been ignoring her for a while, for a couple of these debates or whatever. So I'm glad that the internet's been taking, like, different memes, and they put Nas's Easter to it. I thought that shit was so
funny. Yeah,
yeah, a bunch of good one-liners. That's what you need. Like, this is all about the polarization of this to get people interested. And if you're not doing that, if you don't have those talking points, that's the same thing Trump did. Like, he got all these fucking sound bites and clips of bullshit, but it's a lot of people like that. That's where we at right now. Like, we gotta have those snipey comebacks. And if you listen to what she's saying, it all makes sense. She's basically saying, these motherfuckers on stage ain't got the plan I got. And if you want to get with somebody that can beat this motherfucker, get with me. Basically, say she did. Basically, did a death row. She should have been signed a death row record. She's like, if you want to, you want to get with a president, then they gonna be all up in your videos and all that shit. She basically did that. That's what she said. That's basically what she said to make it in layman's terms to people that don't follow politics. She basically pulled a Suge Knight. It was like, if you don't want your president all up in your videos, you know what I mean, talking shit, you know what I mean, to different countries, you know, I'll be your president. That's basically it. And she said, the Democratic nominee ain't it. That's basically what she said.
Right.
You got a plan for all this
shit. You go to her website.
She has a list of plans, like anything that you feel is important in America, healthcare, economic plan. She has all that shit on there, so you ain't got no excuse not to know about some of these people.
Right.
It's just a matter of, both of y'all got to use your brain power and figure it out. If you don't understand, then go to that person's website and see what they talk about. If they ain't talk about shit, then you don't vote for them. But you got a candidate that got all this shit, basically saying, y'all motherfuckers can't see me with these plans, because I got all this shit covered.
and she got to pay for all of it. And it's people that do this for a living, that study economics, that study that, they were like, yo, if you watch some of these news outlets when they have experts in, they had one expert on saying that the way she's balancing, that she's talking about balancing the budget and the deficit, that's going to work. These are experts. These are people that was in Clinton's administration. Like, come the fuck on. Like, it's that simple. You got to get with people that understand politics. She's in Congress. She knows the rules. She knows how to maneuver through all these racist-ass Republicans in office, because that's essentially what it's about. They're the ones that dictate the rules, the House and the Senate, and she knows how to maneuver through that. So come on now. Let's use our brain power and figure this shit out. Get with the right people. Bernie Sanders, he's more worried about Wall Street, them making money in terms of how they deal with health care, how they deal with insurance policies and all that stuff. That's a great thing, but he's not focused enough to really execute an idea. That's why I like, if you get somebody else on, if he can, like, get on whoever's going to be the main president, then, but he being petty or whatever, he's saying, I don't know until it happens. Like, motherfucker, you said knocking on 80, like, you didn't figure it out. Like, you had a heart attack, like, last year or 2 years ago or something like that. Like, you didn't figure it out. But that was the whole thing, too, him not releasing his, he's not releasing none of his health records and all that shit. That was a news topic, too. But, yeah, it's that simple. But, yeah, y'all got anything else to add there?
I want to hear from EB about Bloomberg. What does he think about Mike Bloomberg, since he's the mayor? He was the mayor of New York anyway.
That motherfucker got
what do I think about him?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think about him.
Okay.
Yo, Warren was lighting his ass up last night. She was like, do you want a president that calls people broads and ugly and fat things and all that? I'm not talking about the Trump. I'm talking about Bloomberg. And everybody was like, oh, shit. And motherfucker was like, oh. And he was getting some, man.
Oh, yes.
And then
so
whenever he responded to it, he was like, well, I got many women friends. Like, and she was like, did you hear what he said? His response, he said, I treat some women good. I was like, oh, man, she light your ass up. She let you have it. I'm like, you sitting there looking like somebody that farted ain't going to help. Like, you looking like something stinking alone. Like, you need to be fighting back, Jack. You ain't doing what you did.
I think he wasting your money in this campaign.
That's what happened when you deal with people that got, you know, experts in debating and all that stuff. I don't feel like Bloomberg went to a debating class.
No,
he was up there like, listen, this motherfucker, you could have used him as pain in the law. He was useless up there. I don't know what he said. I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh, no. He didn't have a good night.
I think he's just running for president so he can call, so he can tell Trump that he ain't got no money, so he can call Trump a fuckboy, so he can say, yo, I got more money than you. I feel like I think he just ran for president so he can flex on him and say, yo, we talk about you, man, on Wall Street, man. You ain't got no money like you say. You've been fronting for 30 plus years that you got money.
That's
all he be talking about. Like, if you read his tweet, that's all he be saying to Trump, like, I got more money than you. That's all he just be on there flexing. I'm like, dude, do you got any plans for America? Like, that's what we need to figure out. And from his history as mayor in New York, it seems like it's all racist and all that other shit. So you might as well be another Republican in Congress. You pretty much useless.
The only problem I'd be faced, if it came down to Bloomberg and Trump, damn, I can't vote for 45. And I'm going to vote.
It ain't going to go that way. Man, I don't care how much money he spent in there. Motherfucker, if you can't, you know what I mean, stand up, if you're not in the top three of that motherfucker, you're useless at this point. And he waited too late to get in the game. It's some of they're letting him have talking points because he basically brought his way in. But some of these, man, you got to have votes for this shit at the end of the day. You got to have votes. And he's been, when they did the Iowa caucus and they did the one in Nevada and all that stuff, this motherfucker ain't in the top three. So he ain't even close to being meat meal. Like, and all he doing is spending millions of dollars on these campaigns. That's the only thing on his sponsored videos or whatever, you know what I mean, whatever that's sponsored by him or whatever, but you gotta get votes.
Like, that's the end of the day. And he waited way too late to get in, and the only thing that's keeping him in is his money, the way he can afford to be a part of this shit. But you useless, man. At this point, I mean, your money is pretty much worthless.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't see nobody. I don't see nobody vote for him because he's not. He's not like a like somebody relatable. Like, you're a billionaire. Like, don't nobody relate to you, and the people from New York don't like you. So that lets you know. Right off the jump. Like, cause even what's his name? That's why what's his name? Fuck Romney that went against. Like, they didn't like his ass. like and he didn't win. So it's like, come on. Mitt Romney, like, nobody liked him in his state. So it's like, come on, it's useless. But yeah, well, you want to go to break again, or you want us to?
I'm ready. I tell you what, let's go to break. We'll be right back after this. This is the Soul Savage
Show. We'll be back, y'all.
Cause you're here tonight. Thank God Almighty, everything's alright. It's been a long, long climb. Glad we made it over. Can't stop myself from crying. Feeling all wrapped up in clothes. I can sing my song,
sing.
If you don't do me wrong. Thank God Almighty, you're where you belong. I can sing my song,
sing.
Before too long. Honey's never been so sweet. You got children standing on their feet. Walking up and down the street. Wearing hands and I'm real
life.
Real life. Real life. Ain't what I want. Real life. I can sing a song.
Sing.
I can sing.
Al Green. Oh, hey, from the Living From You album.
Before
1973. This is Studio W, The Buzz. Back. This is the Soul Savage Show with Q Land, E.B. Whitney, and a special guest. We are back.
Yeah, we're back.
We are back.
Soul Savage Radio. That was free at last. Like you said, Al Green. One of my favorite albums of his, and really, I was playing. I was thinking about Black History Month and people that have contributed to the culture. And when you look at certain record labels you had back then. You know, you had most of the sounds coming from Memphis. It was like specifically blues music. But what Willie Mitchell did, he was, when he came on to High Records, they were started by, three people. It was like a friend, and then there was a musician, and one of them was a musician, and one of them was a singer, and they were all black. And I feel like it was more significant that Memphis Soul, like, was created, when they created High Records, that it was, you had the Stacks and you had the Chess Records, but I feel like most of their music until, like, Isaac Hayes and, you know, all those people came in, it was, like, mostly blues music. They didn't have a significant rhythm section that was, like, specific to, they didn't have a specific sound that was, like, catered to funk music. And what Willie Mitchell did, he put all these, like, badass musicians together, a house band, and they recorded most of their music from the Royal Studios. They had, the Hodges brothers. It's like, three brothers, the organist, the bass player, the guitar player, and, they had Al Jackson Jr., who was the baddest drummer. You know, he played with, what crazy is, Al Jackson Jr., he was cutting most records. Willie Mitchell actually discovered him, and he put him on to being on Stax Records, and they didn't have, at the time, they didn't pay, musicians, set. They didn't have, like, session musicians they paid weekly. But he was so bad, like, everybody talked about him so much, he was, like, the first one that they paid. And so, the crazy thing is, he was doing, session work for Stax, but then he was at High Records, and a part of the house band for High Records with Willie Mitchell. Willie Mitchell was, like, the Quincy Jones of Memphis Soul music, that record label, because he became vice president of High Records when I think it was like a couple of the owners of that label died, and when they died, they put him in a position, and he created that house band that created the Living For You album, and they created most of Al Green's records, his best records, like Call Me, So Tired of Being Alone. That was all that Memphis sound that was on Al Green's record, and that house band. They had, like, High Records. They had, like, Phil Johnson. They had, you know, a bunch of Otis Clay, Don Bryant. They had all those real soulful singers that had quartet gospel backgrounds. Was, most of them came from Memphis. And so it was a lot of Memphis-style, I mean, it was a lot of Mississippi quartet-style music back then. But, yeah, I'm just a huge fanatic of Willie Mitchell and the High Records. Like, people talk about Stax Records and checks a lot with the Memphis Soul. But when you talk about Memphis Soul in terms of, besides blues music oriented, Willie Mitchell created that Memphis Soul. But yeah, that's my little thing or whatever. But we'll go to Raggedy News. Evie, you can start it off real quick.
Let me see. Jussie Smollett, or Smollett, I can never say his name. Whatever his name is, the little light skinned boy from Empire. Back in the news again, he's facing charges again, still related to him lying. That's not what happened. Still related to the case where he said that he was gay bashed after leaving a subway in the wee hours of the morning in Chicago. And
we're still dealing with this. Looking like Janet from Rhythm Nation, I'm confused. Like
he did. So they did discuss this on The Real, and I can't say her name either. Dan Jeannie May. She was saying how, you know, he should be punished if it's not, you know, if he's lying, he should be punished. And Amanda Seals, and she got into it, and Amanda Seals said that he shouldn't be, and she called his actions, she said even if he did lie, she thinks it's noble of him to tell a lie like that, to bring awareness to the people who do get gay bashed or have racist attacks. I don't know what she was trying to say, but it's just a whole raggedy, and yeah, it's very, very interesting. It was just real raggedy. Just, yeah, I mean, him aside, I think he raggedy, whatever, but the whole conversation was raggedy. And for her, when she said this, like, proud, like, I think it's noble, and she received applause. Like, people were agreeing with her, and I'm looking like, is this real? Like, you, yeah, you say it at, this is a real, like, you believe it's noble, and people are agreeing, and it's like, yeah, this is raggedy, and everybody I mentioned is raggedy.
Like, I understood where she was coming from, but when she put the noble on it, I was like, yo, you done messed up your whole argument. How is this noble? Like, what are you talking about? Like,
right.
That's what kind of threw me with her. And Jeannie Mai, you know, I just be like, you know, I just look at her and be like, whatever, to be honest with you. Because I'm like, I just can't with her. Like, it's something about her that I just can't really put my foot, my finger on. Like, something about her is not real for me. And it's just like, I'm like, whatever you talking about, fine, whatever. And I think, to be honest with you, I think Amanda came on there and, you know, she gonna shake up a lot of stuff, even though a lot of stuff out of her mouth be a little weird, but.
Everything.
Yeah, I think she came on the reel to kind of shake things up to start controversy like this. Cause I'm like, you know, when you look at them, it's just like, you got Jeannie Mai that's gonna say, try to be hard and say what you want. Tamara's nice. She's the nice girl. Lonnie want to act like she's the it, and you're going to listen to her, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? And then you got, what's the other one, the cheetah girl, what her name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember her name.
Yeah, I don't either. She was in 3LD.
But the cheetah girl, yeah. That,
she threw the chicken, right?
Look, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I know her name is Adrian. That's her name, Adrian.
Yeah.
She's just there. I feel like she's just there to me. And it's just like, I just be like, this cast, I'm just like, I'm not here for it. So when I saw Amanda and Jeannie Mai going back and forth, like you said, it was raggedy to me. I was just like, I'm with you, Amanda, till you said noble. Then I was like,
this is the thing. It's almost like I feel what you was trying to say.
Yeah.
Well, no, I feel what I wanted you to say, and you, but I don't think you were trying to say what I thought and wanted you to say. I think you were trying to say exactly what you said, which is why I'm like, you're raggedy. Like, it's a pattern with you now. You're raggedy. And I mean, Jeannie was wrong and raggedy too. I mean, I get what she was saying too. And she was just like, no, you know, people are lying. They should be punished. They should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. And what I wanted her to say was, I get that, but also, you know, look at what Will talked about during 6 Minutes of Rage, people getting pardoned and people not being punished for their crimes. So I get that. But then she was like, and if he did, I think it's noble. And then Lonnie Love, I'm not going to say anything mean about Lonnie Love. Jesus, I want to so bad. But Lonnie Love said that this is why we have Amanda here, because she has a master's. And I wouldn't give a good goddamn if she had a master's in fried chicken. She's not.
Mean?
Right.
Oh,
like,
what does that have to do with anything?
It does not. Exactly. It does not have nothing to do with nothing. You saying this is why we have her here, so we can talk about these topics. Nobody on that panel has the range to talk about any topics at all. So that was raggedy. Also on Raggedy News, I don't know if you guys have been following the Snoop and Gayle King. Apparently, Gayle King was interviewing Lisa Leslie, and she asked about Kobe Bryant and the sexual assault allegations. I'm trying to use the right words here, not rape, sexual assault, whatever. Allegations. And Snoop got on, or went on like Instagram or something, and like cussed her out, told him that he's coming to get her and everything. Well, he's now apologized to her. He made a public apology, and she accepted. I think she accepted. But I that was raggedy to me, just like, number one, why you threaten this woman over doing her job? Like, it wasn't, I don't feel, and if I'm wrong, Whitney, let me know, Junior, let me know. I don't feel that Gayle King was disrespectful in the interview with Lisa Leslie. Like, I felt like she was doing a journalist job asking questions. Now, I do question, like, why are you asking Lisa Leslie about that part of Kobe Bryant. Like,
right.
I mean, right. I can understand if you would ask someone who was present or someone who was tied to that case, but Lisa Leslie, like, Lisa, like, look, I'm just trying to be tall and play ball. Like, I don't have time to talk about, I mean, if she handled it well, I don't have time to talk about that kind of mess.
I think it was the fact that it wasn't even the, because you're going to ask those questions because we can't be mad. It is part of Kobe's legacy. That whole situation, it's a part of it. So I'm not mad on what Gail asked. I'm just mad at her, how she came off after Lisa Leslie answered the question. That was my issue. I was just like, okay, Lisa answered it. And then she kind of came back like, well, no, you wouldn't see it. Well, why would you see it? It's like, okay, she answered the question for you. Go on to the next one. And I think what everybody is kind of upset is the fact that Kobe ain't even in the grave yet. And you, like, going in like this. And I think that's why everybody was pissed. But I think Snoop was good until he threatened her and called her a bitch. That's what got me. I said, you took it too far. Like, you can be mad on what she did. That's your opinion. But when you sit up there and say, we going to come and get you, I'm like, come on, Snoop. And you wonder why the world considers this community to be violent and to be this and to be that. You didn't have it look good for us, for real. So for him, he had to apologize. I mean, I understand you mad, but why'd you even come on social media with it? And I'm like, you an OG. You acting like you freaking, what's the Summer Walker out here? Like, for real? I'm like, Snoop, you an OG out here. You was here when there was no social media. So you used to put it all in your music or talked about it in an interview. Now you acting like a little kid and you sitting up here calling Gail a bitch and saying that we gonna come out and get you. Like, come on, dog. And you really gonna think Gail being behind Oprah, you really think you gonna get to her? Don't think so. No. You ain't got that much juice because Oprah gonna make sure her wife, she gonna make sure that Gail is cool.
Whitney, did you get that? Did you hear that, Whitney?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay, I just
want
to make sure I didn't.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Who he sound like, EB? Who he sound like right now?
It ain't me. I don't know.
Okay.
Like. I don't know who he sound like.
Okay.
I would have never.
Yeah.
Whitney, what do you think about it?
I agree, like, it's cool to have your opinion about it and all of that, because I felt some type of way too, because I was like, it just feels like, since Kobe just died, do we have to go down that line of questioning? And I understand, though, that's her job, so if that's what she needed to ask, that's fine, but I did think that Snoop definitely overstepped, so, like, that's where we can't go, like, you can be upset, you can do what you need to do, express your opinion about it, but that's not the direction we're trying to go with that. Like, nobody
right.
is coming for Gail, for real. Like, she was doing her job, she was doing whatever she needed to do, and that's what that is. So, that's not how we can respond. You know? We can't do that.
We can't do that. Right.
Do that right now. There's no room for that. There's no room for that.
I get it.
At the same time, like those charges that were up on, I read the article because I told y'all weeks prior to that I had forgot all about that case 13, 15 years ago when it happened and then when I researched it some weeks back because I'm like, let me familiarize because I don't want nobody thinking I'm a rape apologist or something like that because from what my recollection was, because I was old enough to remember when it happened. And so let me go back. And so when I did my research, it was a whole bunch of facts that came out about that woman. And it was a lot of, I mean, you get its sources cited back from July 2003 where she made the claims and they had three or four people that said that she said that she was bragging about Kobe's genitals at the club and how big his penis was. And so you got all these people saying she was the time she's out partying, she's saying all this. But at the same time, here it is later, you getting charges. And then the reason why that the charges were, you know what I mean, they got rid of it was because she has seven or eight different semen inside of her. That's fact.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that is all true, but I don't think that negates her saying that she was raped. Even he admitted that.
No, he did not. I read his statement as well. That wasn't a fact.
He may.
No, he
didn't.
He said
was
he
may have went. You didn't even let me say what he said, though.
So what?
What he said was he admits that he may have went too far, gone too far, especially when it came to the anal sex, and most people felt like that's what, I don't even know her name anymore, but that's what she had the problem with, was the anal sex part of it all. So, I mean, you can look at it either way, but I'm just from the school that I always believe a victim, no matter what, like, believing a victim until it's proven that everything, like, it has to be proved, I mean, it has to be, the victim has to say, you know what, it did not happen.
I'm looking at
it only because I know people who have been raped.
Right.
So, I know people who don't, but what I'm saying is, I know people who have been raped, and I know that a lot of times it's not been able to be proven because just like her, they found all these samples. Okay, you can sleep with 5, 10, 15 people. If one rapes you, that doesn't negate the fact that you've been assaulted in some way. And I hate, like, I don't like, I hate to use the word rape because I, you know, I always prefer, refer to that as a sexual assault only because of what he said and what she said. Like, that made sense to me. Like, she felt she was assaulted. And, you know, I granted her, I mean, not that I grant, I mean, I'm not the arbitrator or anything, but, you know, I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. I mean, but I just don't think, Gail was out of line. I mean, it's something that happened in his life. It happened. Whether guilty or innocent, it happened. So, to bring it up is right now, bringing it up to Lisa Leslie, that was random to me. Cause I'm like, well, why Lisa Leslie? Like, what? Why Lisa?
Right.
Lisa Leslie. Lisa Leslie. I mean, you might as well ask like the nigga on the corner. Like, I mean, what did Lisa Leslie's tie to that particular case? Like, yes, Kobe basketball. I get that, but that case. And I'm glad Lisa handled it well, make her.
Because
she got like now people aren't even talking about her. They're talking about Gail. And they're talking about Snoop. Nobody's talking about Lisa because she was like, "That's not what I'm not here for that. Like, I don't know anything about that. I wish more people would do that. Like, if you don't know, you just don't know." And she's
right.
Like, "You know, I don't know."
Urge.
She's talking. Well, what I was referring to was what he was talking about was he went too far with the. He said his thing was choking. Well, take that however you want to, but. That's what I was talking about was he said he went too far choking her during the sexual act because that's what he's into. So that's why he said, okay, in her eyes, she didn't enjoy that or whatever. So, yeah, it is in that term, yeah, sexual assault is there. But I'm just saying from what I read, they said that she was lying because she's bragging about having sex with Kobe Bryant. And it's like, how is he... You're uncomfortable, but you're bragging about having sex with him. It don't make sense.
A lot of victims do that.
Like that's not.
And it's a Caucasian woman, so I don't believe her off the jump anyway, because it's a Caucasian woman with a black man. I'm like, I don't believe
her. I ain't gonna go that far with it. I'm specifically all the stuff I was talking about is about the interview. Like I don't know.
You didn't watch Rosewood like I did, Whitney. You didn't watch Rosewood like I did. That's why I got you.
I don't know what happened, but I was specifically talking about the interview itself, like the questioning coming
out. I don't fault her for bringing it up, but she had to know backlash was coming in any context. Bringing that up, I mean, she's doing a job. That's what her job is, to ask those tough questions, but in this climate, people sensitive about it because they're revering somebody. So bringing that up during the time period, I'm just saying the backlash from it shouldn't be
Why Lisa Leslie?
But far enough away from him to have a different opinion, maybe they felt comfortable, felt safe asking her. Like talking to Lisa about it, cause at least she's in the basketball realm. I don't know if that was the angle, for, like, what, and that, again, is my still confusion on it, but I don't know how that was set up, if they maybe had somebody else they wanted to ask the question to, and the other person was like, no, absolutely not, and they just sang it up on Lisa. I don't know, but as you said, nobody is talking about Lisa, because she was like,
Lisa was like,
and we're going to go on with this interview. I'm not talking about that.
And just some topics real quick. Did y'all bring up the Amanda Seals versus Jeannie Mott when they were bringing up Jussie Smollett? Y'all brought that up.
Oh, yeah, we tripped up okay. all the names.
Okay, so my issue was, I did have an issue. Amanda Seals, I know some of y'all think that I don't be saying nothing because I know I'll, you know, whatever, with Amanda Seals and all that. But I did have a problem with what she said because she said that even if it was a hoax, she basically said that that still needs to get props for doing it. And to that, I'm like, that, come on now. Like, she's probably friends with him, but it's like, you're going too far now. Cause it's like, that story ain't no way. I mean, at first we were, like, trying to champion for him. I'm just saying in general, you would think somebody wouldn't make up a story that drastic and so crazy because you're talking about, you know, mega people tying you up with a rope and all that stuff. And then when all the facts come out, it's like, oh, this don't make no kind of sense, especially for me. I know that part of Chicago, and it's like, that ain't never happened. I know that where that location is, where he's talking about, and they ain't nothing like that ever happens over there. So that was weird. For me, that was where my suspicion came in, because I'm like, hold on, this don't sound right. And then when he interviewed for it, I was like, this really don't make no sense now, because what he's saying ain't adding up to making sense. Just like the Kobe situation. Back then, it didn't make sense. That's how I look at it the same way or whatever. But I digress on that. But, again, with the Amanda Seals, her topic, she was tripping for that one. And I don't agree with what she said at all with that. The whole Jussie Smollett, when she got mad at Jeannie Mott, because I agree with what she, because I saw the clip, and I agree with Jeannie Mott when she said that. I agreed 100% what she said. I felt like she was talking right. And Amanda was so passionate about it, but I feel like she was trying to make a certain point, but I didn't feel like it was necessary for that conversation because she was making it more deep and pro-black and all that shit. And I'm like, that conversation wasn't that deep. It's as simple as this man wanted notoriety. He wanted something to boost his career. And so he had somebody make up that he got beat up. He had two guys pretend like they beat him up and all that stuff to create this whole lie. And that's what it is. And it's nothing honorable about that, because the only person that's hurting is himself and his credibility and working consistently in the acting business or whatever. So I'm like, that's all his issues that he got to deal with. But anybody else, and there was somebody else, a friend of his that was on the show that was champion for. I'm like, dude, I know that's your friend, but it's like, come on, this don't make no kind of sense. I'm like, and they were like, well, what about, you know, this and third. I'm like, we can address that, but that ain't what this is. We talking about this individual, but that's just my opinion. I feel like Amanda Seals was tripping and was like reaching seriously to make that talking point, and I felt like it was like completely incorrect, but that's my opinion. I'm sure EB had all his stuff on there.
We went a little further because we talked about everybody on that show, the whole cast of The Real. It's hard to find somebody to agree with in that scenario. I mean, I'm talking between Amanda and Jeannie, not Jussie, but Amanda and Jeannie, and only because, like, yeah, both of them started out saying things that were sounding like, well, you got a point, but then it just went left, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if y'all recognize this name, but Lori Vallow, I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly, Lori Vallow, she is the mother of the two missing Idaho children who've been missing for 75 years, and she's still island hopping in Hawaii with her new husband, and the police just letting it ride, apparently. Y'all heard about that story?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I did.
How many years did you say?
What? I said 75, but it's been some months.
Yeah, Facebook. I seen a couple people on Facebook.
What?
No. No, it's a lady from Idaho. Excuse me, Idaho. She got married to a new guy, and they're in Hawaii apparently now. But her teenagers, she has a daughter and a son. They've been missing for months, and the police first gave her like an order to produce, quote unquote, produce the children. And that was weeks ago, and the police can't find the children, and it's raggedy, first of all, because I really think she killed those kids, but it's also raggedy. I'm calling the police raggedy and the authorities raggedy because, you know, a black parent will go to jail for trying to send her child to a school in a different school district for a better education, but this white woman, apparently, her kids are missing for months, and people, Hawaii is a state. It is a part of the United States. It's not like she's somewhere where we can't get to her or we don't have any type of legal jurisdiction. She's still in America, and it's just like they just letting it happen. I mean, it's just, you know, they found the girl, her daughter's cell phone. Apparently the mother has it, but we can't find the kids. Them kids probably dead, but yeah.
This whole story is crazy. I
feel
like Well, did you see where they said it says the strange case began last July after Vallow's estranged husband, Charles Vallow, was shot and killed by her brother.
Her brother is now dead.
You're right.
Yep.
Right. So, and the kids are missing. I don't even know. That's crazy.
Wow.
Like I said, it sounds like the Casey Anthony case.
Very similar. Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody's smoking meth.
And they never reported the kids missing. Like, that's...
I know that's like a kid. Why? Because that's disgusting. I don't, yeah, I know a guy soft spot for the kids, so I see you out there. It's like, give them, 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 give probably smell like horse shit. So, you know what I mean? You know, people that got that rank smell to them, she probably that kind of person. Probably
on
the beach, probably feed
her
kids properly and all that.
Oh. Well, has anybody got a chance to look at the 2020 Essence Festival lineup?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it.
I have.
Looking it up right now.
So I guess they divided by, like, main stage, super lounge, and... Are those the only two, maybe? Yeah. So this year, on the main stage, oh, God, so it's hosted by Lonnie Love. the main artists are Janet Jackson.
Okay.
Bruno Mars. We got Ari Lennox, Janelle Monáe, Patti LaBelle, The King, Raphael Sadiq, and then Estelle is doing a reggae thing with Afro B, Chronix, Elephant Man, Cranium, Max Glazer, Maxi Priest, Shinsky, then we got Summer Walker, and then
is she gonna make
Swift
it?
Beats. Well, we can talk about the Super Lounge. Super Lounge, I can't pronounce a lot of the people's names, so, but I do know Dougie Fresh. He gives a good show. But I know Jidenna, am I saying it right? I hope. Jidenna is on it.
June's Diary. Jidenna, I think.
Oh, Jidenna. Masego. Saweetie.
I've heard of him. Oh, okay. I
I know
but Tamia
Sega
is on it. Stokely with no mint condition.
Oh, yeah.
That's confusing to me.
What?
And then Tank and the Bangas. Those are the, I mean, and there are a lot of more people I didn't name, but I heard this in Raggedy News because I was like, first of all, how you have an Essence Fest where, outside of like Patti LaBelle, where are the classic artists? Like, where are the old school R&B
right.
artists? Like, they are
right.
like completely
that's...
missing from the lineup. I mean, you got Raphael Sadiq, you got Tamia, oh, that's all I got. You got
just a reference. Stokely does have solo music. I just want to throw that out.
I mean,
there.
No, he does. He has solo music, but
okay,
I mean, come
he
on.
Does. He does.
Come
that's
on.
We know, but he won't.
We want mint condition. Carrie,
yeah,
listen, how old is Carrie Lewis? So now they're out here in college and they need money, and Carrie's sitting at home waiting for a job, and Stokely doing Essence by himself? That ain't right. Tony Bradford,
right,
that man,
right.
I hemmed up in all types of court fees. And so he's like, by myself. So he's like, well, that's no baby.
By listen,
he did, and I was mad at that, too. I was,
contest.
I was mad at that. But I wasn't mad because I was mad for different reasons, but, yeah.
Well, they just produced one of his singles that he put out. That's why
they did, but they deserve
it. No,
Jam and Lewis deserve a lot more than that tribute. Like, they deserve, like, no, everybody should have showed up. That,
you know
what's in Raggedy
News? Shaka Khan performed at she did the Star Spangled Banner at the All-Star Games. And I'm going to put that in there with the Alexander O'Neal people at a
no, that's
event.
Not the
and
same.
And I would say, no, yes it is. No, y'all gonna let it ride. Y'all gonna let it ride. No, I'm talking about the backlash. Y'all gonna let that ride. And so we're not going to talk about the disrespect Alexander O'Neal. I don't care how many words.
But wait.
Okay?
Alexander
I was different. Y'all did not talk bad about none of them.
Alexander was different from me. I'm going to tell you why I was different.
About none of it.
Alexander
he did,
was
but I was
different
going another way with it, didn't you?
No, yeah, he did. Alexander was only different to me.
I called my top five. I would never disrespect her. Ever.
But look, Alexander was only different for me because I felt like people were, like, making a joke and laughing, like, ha-ha. They really tried to make it seem like Shaka Khan.
They did it with Shaka.
Well, no, I'm sure, but what I saw was they tried to make it seem like Shaka just would never sing and she was the worst.
Yeah,
and I was just like, what? Like, what are you?
They did the same thing with Alexander O'Neal. I saw the same tweet. The same tweet I was talking about. Alexander O'Neal, I saw the same thing with Shaka Khan.
Before I saw her sing the national anthem, which I'm over the national anthem anyway, but before I saw her sing it, all I saw was the comments, people saying, oh my God. People were like sending me messages like, EB, have you seen this? EB. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm like bracing myself.
And that's why
I'm
I play
like,
one
okay.
of her songs to let y'all know. Y'all can
like,
never sound good
the
y'all
thing.
Y'all
I'm like, okay.
I find pinky toe. Low, low.
I'm like, okay, Shaka's about to sound horrible. So then
that's
I pressed
what I
play,
thought. That's
but
what
I kept
too.
Waiting for her to sound horrible. She
yeah.
did Shaka Khan. Like, she was, listen, kids don't know and
listen,
understand.
You pay for Shaka Khan, that's what you get. The same thing with Steven Tyler. They said the same thing about Steven Tyler.
With who?
His own thing. I'm like, you hired Steven Tyler.
Wait, with
and so you
Steven
get Steven Tyler.
No, Errol, I mean,
he
yeah, what's the
Smith.
Who is that? Oh, it was right, Errol Smith. Okay, Steven Tyler, yep.
They had
yeah.
him sing the national anthem, and he did his thing with it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the same thing. Like, people got that certain thing.
But they were comparing her to Fergie.
Yes,
like, they were saying Fergie.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
That's what pissed me off, because I didn't get to see it.
We got to go to break real quick. We got to go take a real quick break, and then we're going to try to wrap this up, because we got 11 minutes left. And so, Will, if you're ready, we're going to break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to finish off the news topic.
The so-called blues.
Black Balloons. And we're back. That's Phil Johnson. Hey, this is the Soul 70 Show on Studio W The Buzz. Back to UQ land.
Yeah, Phil Johnson, like I told you, he comes from High Records out of Memphis. He recorded most of his records, and like I said before, like Willie, the way he could produce these records, like he told him how to sing it, like this is before, you know, like Al Green, you know, they started doing work together with this house band in Memphis. The High Rhythm Section house band did most of their records for Al Green and Phil Johnson and all that. But once he got that, like, he was singing blues, but he said whenever he got with that band, with Willie Mitchell's band, he started laying back more in the cut and letting the music take over. And it's a different style than blues, because it's mostly you following the guitar, but this one, it's like a whole section. You got to listen to, you know, the whole rhythm section moving. And like I said, blues music was popular during then, so this was like a whole different element, because mostly playing blues, you playing the 1-4-5, and it's pretty simple. It's very, the chord structure is simple, so it's not like it's not as complex as playing funk music, because you got different elements. With blues music, you only got only so many pieces to a band that can create that sound that you want. That's just that three chord measure that makes those guitar sounds. Like when you hear Albert King, and when you hear those records, like those are the blues records. But when you hear like those records, like Al Green and Phil Johnson's, like that's like the whole, that's that sound that Willie Mitchell created, because he had the vision and he arranged all that music, because he had the singer and musician background, so he could direct them on how to create that. So I think Phil Johnson is one of the best soul artists to come out during the 60s. Like, he's like on that S, because his vocals were so strong. I love that song. It's called Black Balloons, but yeah, I love it. But what we're talking about, I think y'all want to stay on Reggae News, or y'all want to go into Savvy? Because the only thing else I was going to say was
go
Uzi.
Savvy, because we only got a little bit of time.
Right, I was just going to tell whoever that if y'all got a problem issue with Zaya Wade, just to wrap up Reggae News, then y'all need to get y'all life together and quit worrying about small children's genitals. And if you don't know the difference between gender identity versus sexuality, then I think it's just the fact Boosie was so passionate about that, it's very odd to me that he's so passionate about that. Like, what did he see in prison? The way, like, it was just, like, you can't even get mad at it. It's just funny. Like you go, that's how you can see how ignorant somebody is when they go straight to that. Like, don't chop his stuff off. Like, what are you saying right now? Like, that don't even make any sense. But yeah, like, all the people going in on Zaya Wade, I hope Zaya Wade's having the best week ever, because, you know, and the people that got an issue with it, stay mad. That's all I can say. And tend to your 4 to 5 kids, you know, that's still out of their grandma's purse. Deal with them kids. Okay, I'm just saying. But Savvy News, get to it, EB. Go ahead.
Janet Jackson is going on tour. Well, as evidence, she's going to Essence, but she's going on tour again. She announced that she's doing a summer tour. So, fans of Janet Jackson, she coming back. Take some hearing aids so you can hear her, but she'll be back.
Oh, that
I thought that was pretty savvy. I thought that was savvy that she's on tour again. You know, I love Janet.
No, that wasn't cute.
You can't hear her, but
you
she's working.
Why do you have to add that?
I don't want nobody to show up to the show and they mad because they can't hear because she whispering, and now they writing all these bad reviews that Janet Jackson don't give a good show. So I'm letting people know this thing's a hearing aid. You know, so you can hear.
Oh my God. What else? You ain't no hearing aid.
Also on
Savvy News,
they are reopening the James Brown murder investigation. Somebody's come forth with evidence that said David King.
I didn't know James Brown was murdered.
Well, okay, now they're opening it as a murder investigation. Like, they're saying there was foul play involved and that he was killed.
Oh, gotcha.
And you know, since they never buried the man, he's still sitting in his daughter's living room table, sitting at the dining room table in front of a bowl of grits. Remember, y'all remember when James Brown died? And they never put him in the ground, and then they finally decided, so they put him on his daughter in the yard, actually. They built a tomb in her yard. So he's still not under the ground. They still got him sitting up there like it's like his mama at Sunday dinner. And I'm like, I love James. I'm just saying I love James because he's a legend. But I think, you know, just let him rest in peace. But if he was murdered, then somebody got to go down for it. So I thought it was savvy that they're at least looking into it. Like, they announced they're looking into it. I mean, we still looking for who killed a lot of people. I ain't going to name names, but a lot of people. James is still, like, you know, people accepted the fact that he died because he was old, and they thought it was drugs or something, too, that killed him. But I thought that was savvy. I don't know. Have y'all been following the case? Do y'all know who killed James? Did y'all know he was sitting up at his daughter's dining room table in front of a bowl of grits? Did y'all know that?
I knew he wasn't buried, but I knew he wasn't sitting up in the dining room table eating grits.
They did have him in the dining room for a while, but then they built something and they built a tomb in her yard. So now he's in the front yard like a lawn jockey. Who does that? This is James Brown. This is Soul Brother
again,
number
is that
one.
Legal? Can you do that? Is that a, cause I don't
Listen,
know.
This
I didn't
South
know
Carolina.
You could,
we,
I didn't know
we,
you
we
could
do
it.
Whatever we wanted in South Carolina, Whitney. Hey, they got it sitting up there. When you go to dinner, you gotta ask James Brown, could you pass the salt? Now, he ain't gonna talk. If he do talk, you better get the hell up out of there.
Listen, I'm not going over there at all, okay? I'm not having it. I'm having a nice, regular life right now. I don't want to complicate it with Dave.
Are you saying
at the dinner table? I'm
saying. So, are you saying Papa's got a brand new embalming? Is that what you're saying?
They got Papa sitting on ice, okay? Papa been sitting on ice since when he died, 2001.
You know what?
Like 2006.
James been sitting on ice like a
polar
bear.
So you saying James Brown is working up a cold sweat?
Yo, I'm done with y'all, man.
Y'all go ahead.
The disrespect. Y'all see how disrespectful Q-Lan be to the legends on here? Week after week, we
saying,
gotta put up with this.
So you saying that his daughter got the big payback of his murder investigation?
The big payback. I don't know if it's his daughter. I think it's somebody that worked with him, you know, or maybe, I don't know who it is. It's not his daughter, though. You know, she just wants
to
stay at her table.
I just need an explanation that he got a funky drummer. He's
getting
a new interpretation of a funky drummer.
She's telling the truth. Why are you going to get somebody from telling the truth? If Q-Lin won't come to the show and tell the truth, we're going to have to have her tell the truth.
Oh, Lord, Jesus.
We're at the end of Soul Savage Radio Show. Thank you, Junior, so much for joining us as a guest. We'll be back next Thursday. Y'all give y'all Savvy Heathen talk before we go. Junior, do you have any last words you want to say?
I think this joint was dope. I had a good time, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully y'all can invite me back, you know what I mean? I had such a good time on the show, though. It was dope.
I appreciate it. Like I said, Soul Savvy Radio, every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and my Savvy Heathen talk is, can somebody please, Mary Jane's go out. We out, y'all. Take us out, Will.
All right. Hey, Soul Savage Show every Thursday. Oh, also, Q-Lan, I want to thank you so much for coming on Date Night last night. Tell the audience, real quick, what were we talking about last night?
We were talking about,
is marriage overrated? Is marriage overrated?
Yeah, I essentially said yeah.
Oprah thinks no.
Listen, I'm not splitting my oatmeal money with nobody, so.
my essentials in life, I'm not splitting that. I ain't splitting nothing. So that was where I was going with it.
Yeah. And so we called EB last night, and EB was on a gig. And, okay, I got to say it. Q-Lan said that Whitney said that you would probably pass your bedtime, so.
Again, I was in the early last night.
I couldn't have been nowhere.
I'm tired
sleep. Now. And I got another one tonight. I'm tired.
We had fun last night. We had fun on this show. Like I said, somebody please, Barry James Brown.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you again, Q-Lin, for coming on. All right. And then, hey, guys, check out the Soul Savvy Show every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here and 7 o'clock on the
make
East Coast.
Sure it's consensual.
We're out, folks.
Well, EB said, make sure it's consensual. I can't add on no more. It's kids in the vicinity.
All right, folks. Hey, this has been the Soul Savvy Show here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey guys, check out Studio W, The Buzz.